Great. So good morning, everybody. How are you today? I'm excited to be here for our first official support call of Stay in the Sweet Spot. Last week, we had our kickoff call, which we were going over. Ah, I love it. She's got her own signs. If you see somebody holding up signs like that, it's because they were in the jeans. What did we call it even? I don't even know. The Zoom thing, Shine Online, over the weekend. And we had that as ways to hold up and tell us how things were going. We should offer those to everybody in all of our calls because it's kind of fun, you know, and it's easier to see than just waving and all. So welcome to Stay in the Sweet Spot. I'm super excited to be here with you all. And I don't know if Evangelica is going to be on or not. So I will manage this until she gets here. But what I want to do is start out with talking to you about this week's work, this week's challenge, and then answer questions about that. So the way I want to structure these calls is to ask questions about where we're at right now in the thing first, and then whatever other questions you have about where you're at, where you're stuck, you know, what things that I can recommend to you, I'm here for.
Did we get the questions from the Facebook group for this week?
Well, that's what Angelica usually does. I have no idea how to do that.
I can get them for you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So while Marcia does that, this week's topic is, you know, really managing your fasting feeding cycles. And a lot of people they try to do stuff because they read about it. Oh, one meal a day, that's the solution to everything. I'm going to try that. And then they don't do well and they wonder why. Or I'm going to skip breakfast and I'm going to intermittent fast until noon and then they feel bad. Or, you know, we just try things because we hear that they're good. And they may not be good for you. So the goal of our time together over the course, now this will extend all the way through. It may take you weeks, you know, months even, to figure out what works for you from experimentation. But the concept of optimizing our fasting window is super critical for keeping blood sugar steady and for keeping weight steady. But not everybody can jump right into it. So you see on the page that I put together for you, the very first step is that we want to look at master the 12-hour window. If you're having trouble with 12-hour window, you're going to work your way to it. How long is your eating, your fasting window right now? Like, oh, I have to eat up until bedtime and I eat until midnight and then I, you know, get up at 6. So your fasting window is only 6 hours. If you try to jump right to 12 hours or 14 or 16 or 20, you might screw yourself up because your body's not used to it. So it's go slow. Right. If you're on it, we all should be at a 12 hour. I think that's like the basic human race thing, but there are exceptions, right? 12 hour feeding window, 12 hour fasting window. Then if you want to go beyond that, then we get into more sophisticated stuff. So wherever you are, if you haven't mastered the 12 hour fasting window yet, work on that this week. Okay. If you have, then okay, what do I want to move to? If you're already doing like 16 hours and you're reading all the benefit of going further and you feel really good at 16 hours, you think maybe longer, you have a choice. You can say, nah, I found something that works for me. I found my sweet spot in terms of my fasting eating feeding window and I'm going to stay here. Great. If it's not broken, don't fix it. Right? If 16 hours works, great. You might have read about eating only 2 meals a day or eating 3 meals a day. If you go beyond a 16-hour window of fasting and 8-hour window of feeding, it's kind of hard to eat more than 2 meals. If you're at, you know, a 6-hour feeding window, it's kind of hard to eat more than 2 meals. But you could. I mean, you could technically do it. Again, you've got to find out what works for you. Some people say to me, because they've been conditioned, right? I only eat 2 meals a day. Is there something wrong with that? No, it's great, right? But you also have to know how big is your stomach capacity? How big is your appetite? Because you may not be able to eat enough in 2 meals to maintain weight. Now, that's not usually what people's problem is. Usually the problem is they want to get rid of some weight. So if you're in that situation, 2 meals a day, awesome. You know, you don't have to worry about it. But once you get to your weight, and a lot of people get there, they get to the weight and then they start to drop below. Or they start out, you know, at a little bit on the lean side. They don't want to lose weight. Don't try to do 2 meals a day. Do 3 meals a day because you're not going to be able to eat enough at one sitting to maintain that. Is that making sense? But if you have extra weight and you really want to lose some more, and you really like this, and you've read all the science about it, and you really like this concept of having a longer fasting window, and you really like the idea of only turning on your digestion twice a day, then try it out. But it doesn't mean what I teach in this is for everybody. And that's why we're doing this, right? We're doing another 12 weeks together so we could take the general principles and we can fine tune them so that you have something that works for you. For me, I've looked at, oh yeah, one meal a day. Well, I've looked at some studies on that. And for some people, the one meal a day, they gain weight on it because they overfeed, which throws the glucose levels. I have to be really careful about overfeeding. I could sit down and eat just a big plate of avocado and vegetables. And if I eat too much, my blood sugar will go up, right? So we're meant to be able to eat to a certain capacity and not go, I got to eat more. I need more calories. Right? That's why when I'm working with people who don't want to lose more weight or are thinner, that's actually harder for me to work with than somebody who has extra weight to lose. Because we have to be careful not overfeeding at a time, causing the sugars to go up. And maybe you don't have the problem of that insulin high makes you gain weight. Maybe you have some other metabolic things that counteract that, but you have other things that the high insulin does, like stiffening your arteries, which who wants stiff arteries, right? Nobody wants stiff arteries. So I want you all to don't expect that you're going to go through that whole page of recommendations and get to the ultimate goal. No, there's no ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is for you to find what works well for you. So say you are doing a 14 or 16 hour fasting window and you're feeling really good. And then you go, well, I'm going to try this 16. And after a few days of trying it, you feel like crap or you're losing too much weight, your energy goes down. You go back to the one that worked for you. It's very similar to what I teach with coming up with the optimal, the dosing of specific nutrients, right? Or like vitamin C, we have, okay, here's vitamin C. You can do 1,000 milligrams 3 times a day, see how you go. Well, now try increasing it a little bit. And if you start to get gurgly stomach or loose stools, then you've gone too far, you back up to the one before. So know that as you experiment with your body, you may find the perfect spot, but then you try to push it a little bit further and you go into the imperfect spot. You always go back to what one of my mentors years ago called Health Island, right? Health Island. It's like, oh, I found Health Island. I tried to go a little bit further and that Health Island didn't work. I come back to what I call the ground zero. This is the spot that works for me. And then be happy with it. Not stressing out about, I might get better benefits if I do an 18 hour fast, or maybe I'd be better if I do 2 meals a day or 1 meal a day. There's no perfect principle that we're going for, right? We're going for what works well for you. And with the experimentation, sometimes you're going to go beyond. You go, whoops, let me come back. For some of you, the doses I recommended of chromium caused you to wake up in the middle of the night because it made your blood sugar go too low. But I say stop that dose, right? You're taking too much. And that's where we're in this phase right now, is the fine tuning. Does that make sense? So did everybody get a chance to see the page and watch the video? It was a longish video, no? Well, go out and watch. You were in that course all weekend, so you didn't get a chance, right? Yeah, so the page is up, the video is up, all my recommendations. What we're doing is continuing with the handbook so that at the end of this, you'll have a 21-week or something like that handbook so that you have it all in one place. We debated, should we, you know, mark this as week 10 of Sweet Spot? But it's really week one of staying in the sweet spot. And we thought, if we start the numbers over again, it can get you confused. Oh, was that in week one of sweet spot, or was that in week one of stay in the sweet spot? So we're just numbering them. So this is week 10. It's week 10 of your sweet spot journey. It's stay in the sweet spot. Same handbook, same, you know, format, and you've got them and you can just keep putting it in and have this, you know, huge binder when you're done of all the stuff that you can reference back to. The video for this week was longer because I really felt like I wanted to explain a lot of the background of, you know, what's happening, fasting, feasting, and how to optimize your windows. So it's about 20 minutes-ish, you know, whereas most of the others were in the 10-minute range. I gave you some resources on that page that you can click on. One is a breakfast. People always ask me, they asked me this over the weekend, well, what do I eat for breakfast? Okay. There's a booklet that says, I don't care if your breakfast is at 4 in the afternoon or 10 in the morning or 8 in the morning or 6 in the morning. There's still the same concepts of starting your day with this balance of nutrition. And so that's a really great book. Again, it's a general set of recipes, and you may have found in all the sweet spot experimentation that certain ingredients don't agree with you. So you substitute them, you leave them out. And so I have that breakfast guide in there. And the one other thing that I had in there, and I can't remember, there was another download. We'll go in there and figure it out. Here we go. It was, let me think. I know there were two downloads on that page, and my brain is fried from having been teaching all weekend. Let's see. Sweet spot. Okay, good. I can get there. Now, I want to make sure if anybody's still having any technical difficulties getting any of this stuff, I'm going to just share my screen. If any technical difficulties accessing your information, to write to Christina at Help Desk, and she'll help you get access to it. Everything should be squared away right now. So if I go here and I go to Sweet Spot. Okay. Is that it? No, that's not it. For some reason, my computer is sluggish this morning. Here we go. All right. So there's Unstoppable. It was. Okay. So just to give you an overview, this is your Sweet Spot program. If you want to get to stay in your Sweet Spot, you can do so from here. By scrolling down, I reorganized the page a little bit. Oh, that one needs to be shortened. The basic program, add-ons, and then bonuses. So it's all organized. So stay in the sweet spot. You won't see the both. You won't see. You'll just see either access now. You shouldn't see order now. You'll see access now. That's how you get to stay in your sweet spot. Just as a reminder, some of the bonuses that were sweet spot bonuses, I also repeated on the stay in the sweet spot page just for your reference, so it's easier to get to. So all of these, oh, they put up the festival bonuses. Yay. People have been asking that for a while. That you'll have to get here because it's not on the stay in the sweet spot because I didn't even know they had set that up. So yay, exciting. All right. So then you click on stay in the sweet spot. And I apologize if this, you already know this and it's just a review, but I just wanted to make sure everybody was clear. Access now. My computer is like super slow this morning. So, okay, there we go. And you'll see if you scroll down, there's bonuses here too. So I just repeated them and I'll put the other one there. And then the add-ons were things that you might've had or might not have had if you paid extra for. So if we go to week one, let's see, week 10. So all the other weeks will be following after this. I access now, or you can hit it at the top. Okay, so you've got your video. Like I said, it's about 20 minutes long. You can download it, and you can download the MP3. There's your handbook. Oh, intermittent fasting. This is a detailed booklet that I put together about intermittent fasting. If you want to geek out on the details and studies and all that, it's fun read. And then you have your experimentation, basically. Beginner, intermediate, advanced. Now, you know, here's the thing, especially us overachievers who like to always get the A's and always like to be the best. There's no right or wrong on those terms, advanced, intermediate, beginner, right? The beginner, we all should be doing this E12. Maybe you stay a beginner, maybe that's it. Maybe you're never gonna advance beyond that. You know, if you start to play tennis, right? You're in the beginner level. Unless you go for pro, I'm still a beginner in tennis. Look, I know how to hit the thing across the thing. There's no stigma associated between being a beginner. Same thing with the intermittent fasting, right? It's just words that we use. But advanced would be like, yeah, this is, some of you read that, all my window, eat food within a 4-hour window. Holy cow, one meal a day? Holy cow, I don't want to ever get there. Great, you don't have to. And then we have experiment with the timing. Some people do better when they eat their first meal early in the day. Some people do better to delay that till later and then eat their first meal. I'm the latter. If I eat my first meal in the morning, I'm fighting with my demons all day long because they just want to keep eating, right? I don't do it. I do better to wait till, like, I haven't eaten yet anything yet now. It's 1:16. After I eat off this call, I'll probably grab a smoothie. But once I start, right? Then if I don't eat enough at that first meal, then I'm going to be hungry, hungry, hungry. So find out what works for you. Experiment with it. And I've worked with all types, or worked with all types. And then the others is experiment with extending fasting. If you haven't really gotten past a 12-hour fast, don't go to five, please. Don't go to five. What you want to do is try it out by extending gradually. Go from a 12-hour fast, go to a 16-hour fast, go there. And then you can try some extended fasting if you're comfortable. Some people never get there. Some people have tried, I think Angelica said the longest she ever got to was 36 hours and she felt miserable. She felt miserable. So it's not, she's not ready for it yet. I've gone 28 days, no big deal, right? I do 5 days all the time, no big deal. And it was like that from the beginning. The first time I tried fasting, it was like, I read a book and I said, oh, I'll do a 5-day fast. And I did a 5-day fast. Right? But you may not get there. You may feel lousy. You may feel headachy. You may feel achy. It's all related to what else is going on with you. So there's no, you have to do this. This is just suggestions for what you want to do. Break your fast optimally. And that's why I gave you the breakfast book. So that's it for that. Okay. So questions about any of that, and then we'll handle whatever questions you have going on. And Marcia has the list from the thing. So any questions about what I just talked about? Oh, Angelica's here. Good. I know you've been busy to the max. Okay.
So Kate. I have a question. Oh, Rita Marie.
Kate and then Jenny, or Jenny? Oh. Let's do Jenny because you're open. Jenny and then Kate.
Okay. As you know, I just finished a 5-day fast and it was so different than the previous 5-day fast I did about 4 or 5 months ago. And we discussed that a little bit. And what I noticed was that sometimes in the morning when I got up, even though I hadn't eaten, my blood sugar would be elevated and my ketones would be lower. And this is like day 3 or 4. So I would think that the blood sugar, you know, I would have burnt that up because my ketones had been elevated prior to that. Anyway, so I get up in the morning, I'd have a bit higher glucose, a bit lower ketones. And then 3 hours later, it would be my blood sugar dropped to just the high 50s and my ketones were up past 5. While you're fasting, what is happening with that? If you're into the later days and you do a longer fast, where is your body getting that blood sugar?
That's a great question. Where is it getting it from? At day 3 in the fast, you might still have some glycogen stores. So glycogen is stored in the liver or the muscles, and it could be there. Usually it's depleted somewhere 3, 3.5 days. And it might be that you weren't depleted yet and your blood sugar started to go low during the night. And instead of using the ketones, you still weren't fully fat adapted. And you went, oh, look, hey, look, we got some over there. Let me grab some sugar.
Okay.
If you're later in a fast and your blood sugar starts to go up, my concern is that you might be breaking down muscle tissue. I'll give you an example. I did a 5-day fast. I didn't exercise heavily throughout it, but I decided to keep going. So on day 6, I went, oh, I'm so tired of not exercising. I need to exercise. And I did a pretty intense workout with Maria. And as those of you who've worked with Maria know that I didn't tell her I was on day 6 of a fast or she would have adapted it, but I just went, I'm going to just chuff this through. And my blood sugar went up like 30 points after that. And I went, where did my body get that sugar? I'm depleted of glycogen now. Oops. That came from my muscles. So my body started breaking down muscle. Muscle has protein. Proteins, 3 separate amino acids can be converted into sugar. Glycine, isoleucine, leucine, and glycine, those 3. Okay. So that breaks down the protein to find that and put that up there. Okay. So what's probably happening, you still maybe have some glycogen stores. I would ask certain questions about what happened over that night. Was it a stressful night? Was it hot and you were waking up sweating? Something like that, or something stressful, or a bad dream that could have happened that was stressful that causes the cortisol to raise your sugar.
Okay.
Yeah. But then
I don't remember like in particular what happened that night, but
those are good questions.
Okay, I had one last question too. Given how also it seems like sometimes you can fast and you feel one way and you can do the exact same fast and the next time it doesn't feel so good or as good or maybe better. When you're trying to begin the intermittent fasting, and let's say you try a window on only a 6-hour window of eating, How many times should you try that and it, you question. Not feel good before you should just say, okay, I better not do it this way?
Yeah. So if you've gone, done it gradually, like I'd recommend, like increasing it by 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour. And you go from having a 7 hour window and you felt great to a 6 hour window and you felt like crap. I could have been a bad dream. It could have been anything. Right. So I would say do it for like 3 days, unless you feel really super awful, and then just go backwards. Right. So it just depends on how bad you feel.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Kate.
Between the two of you, I'm good for now. So Jenny asked my questions and you answered a lot. Perfect. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Was that the same questions you had on the IRSPT call too that you were going to ask?
No, now I forgot that question. So I'll try to drag it up.
Try to drag it out of your memory. You can ask that.
Okay. Time, right?
Yeah. So if there's no other questions about that, about the technology for this week, like what we're working on, then let's go on to the questions. Camilla. Yeah. Hi,
Camilla. So this is a technology question. So it's pretty basic though. I'm comfortable at 16 hours and it's, so I'm assuming now that the gut rejuvenator, AM starter, that's breaking a fast because with the lemon juice, right? So because I get up pretty early, you know, 5:30, and I want to kind of ease my digestion, do you have other things that you suggest? Like, I've been doing warm water with a really, really high quality Celtic sea salt.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Okay. That's exactly. Now, the lemon, it's debatable whether you're truly, you know, because it's very low in calorie. Maybe, you know, half a lemon is maybe like 3 calories or something.
Right.
So it's probably not a huge deal in terms of that. If you're feeling really good with it, then I would continue it. If you're stalled, you're like, oh, I was losing weight and now I'm stalled, then try doing it without. So I would experiment with that as well. I would go 3-4 days with just the water and the salt, and then add the rejuvenator back and go, wow, I feel so much better when I do that, you know? So my sugars are better, everything. A lot of this is just experimentation, right?
So can I ask a quick other, somewhat related, but not exactly. So with this fluid intake and the, shorter eating windows, one of the things that I would love to break through with in these 3 months is eliminating the one time I wake up to pee at night. And so I feel like I've tried to kind of cut, stop drinking at 8, stop drinking at 7:30, and somehow that hasn't quite worked yet.
Okay.
And so,
that's a great question.
Altitude, I don't sweat a ton. I mean, when I do start eating between like the gut rejuvenator and the, like a smoothie, or not a smoothie, but like the other drinks, green tea drink or something like that, that's like 64 ounces of water on top of the plain water that I'm drinking, right? So
yeah, so the gut rejuvenator can count towards your plain water, just to be clear.
Okay, cool.
Yes, absolutely, because it is plain water, really. The smoothie, how much of that smoothie is liquid and it's solid and all that? And again, the water is a guideline, right? So you can try, cutting that back by the 32 ounces if you were adding an extra 32, and that may make the difference.
Okay, cool, I'll start there. Thank you.
Right. But I would also add, and this is a good question, it came up on the practitioner training call right before this, was that there's multiple reasons for waking up in the middle of the night. You know, one is out of control blood sugar, one is small bladder capacity, one is that, your blood, you're not really waking up to pee. You're waking up because your cortisol went up and you notice that you have to pee, right? Okay. And that's something to be aware of. Because if any of us gets, something or other, and, the kid wakes you up in the middle of the night or the dog barks and you wake up, you may notice, oh, I have to pee. Let me just get up and pee now so I don't wake up again later. So it's really differentiating there. But the other thing is your volume, your urine volume and your color. So really observe for a few days how much you're peeing during the day. What color is it? What's the volume? And then look at night and see that again. And another way, this is a pain in the butt to do, but you can do it. You can get a big jug and collect your urine for 24 hours and see how much is there. If it's more than, it's very light and pale and it's really, more than what I'm telling you to take in, then you're probably taking in too much and you can cut it back. But if it's not, you know, if you're going and you're waking up in the middle of the night, but you've got, you know, it should be, I could show you what I have, these jugs that they send you from the labs when you're doing.
I've seen that, like the orange ones.
Yeah, the big orange jugs, right? Yeah. If you have one, that's even cooler. So you can just see about filling that up. When people tell me, oh, I don't have enough room in my jug to take it all, that says that's a red flag that they're either drinking too much, they have diabetes insipidus, which makes them more thirsty and peeing more, or that it's a blood sugar thing.
I have a sneaking suspicion that the water that I take in doesn't necessarily get all the way into my cells. So I'm thirsty and I need to keep drinking water, but it's not, it just kind of is going through me.
Great. So there's a couple of approaches you can do with that. A company called Energetics, E-N-E-R-G-I-T-X at the end, I think, they have a product called Rehydration Drops. And it's a homeopathic kind of thing that's supposed to open up the cells. And I've seen a lot of really good results with that. There's other things like crystal energy drops and other kind of things that are supposed to like realign the water so that it moves through. Because the way that our water is processed, you know, it comes from nature. It's moving, it's flowing. And if we put that right into our bodies, boom, it would get in. But then when we process it, it goes through the commercial. I mean, unless you have your own well, it goes through the residential area where they process it. And then we go, I don't want all the crap that you just put in my water. Then you do it processing again. So the time it gets to you, it doesn't have that nice flow. So there are some things you can do with that. There's a little worm you can put in it. I found that to be awesomely inconvenient. I have one, I haven't done it. Cause it's like, I have to spin my water every time I drink it. Oh my God. I know I do it at a big batch of it. You know, so there's that kind of stuff, but there's also the drops you can put in, the rehydration drops.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so who's going to read?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Jean.
I'm dealing with underweight. And so I'm trying to drink and I don't feel thirst and I don't feel hunger, which is a real problem when you're trying to gain weight.
Right.
Am I supposed to drink? I mean, when you say 16 hours, it would be more like 8 for me at my weight.
Yeah, you don't want to do, okay, so drinking, right? First of all, drinking. Yeah. Because of your weight, your amount is going to be much lower. That's why I don't like people saying drink 8 ounce glasses of water a day. Yeah, if you weigh 200 pounds versus 98, it's going to make a big difference. So your weight would be, whatever your weight is, half of that in fluid ounces. Okay, so don't try to drink more.
That's
than
what
that.
I'm
okay.
Doing,
now, as basically. Far as fasting windows, you don't want, you know, maybe you could get away with an 8-hour fasting window, an 8-hour feeding window, 16-hour fasting, but I generally don't recommend that for people who are underweight and trying to gain weight, because it's hard to get the calories in and then you're going to try to eat too much at any one sitting.
Well, I'm trying to, I'm working with a 12-hour.
I would stick with that.
If that includes, I mean, but sometimes when I get up, I mean, I was under the impression you're supposed to drink the gut rejuvenator or something, water in the first hour, which I do. But a lot of times I don't get to my breakfast till 10.
Okay.
You know, but should I go ahead and drink that water early? I mean,
given your situation where you're trying to put on weight, yeah, you can totally. Yeah. The thing is that anything that has calories in it is considered breaking your fast. Although, you know, some of people who write about it, they say, well, you could have black coffee or tea or whatever, but it's for you, I wouldn't worry about that. I would drink it. I wouldn't worry about it.
Well,
the other thing is I would do is I would go to Chronometer or one of those apps start to map out what you're eating. And see, are you in a place where you've lost weight and now you're sustaining it, which means in order to gain weight back, you just have to add a few calories and I can share with you what that should be. Yeah. But, or are you continuing to drop a little bit? In which case you're going to have to really look at those meals and how can I add like 300 calories a day to what I'm doing?
Yeah, what do I do? I mean, what do I add back? I haven't had a problem with the blood sugar very much.
Okay.
You know, with it spiking or anything, I stay kind of in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
So then you want to add back, you want to start adding back some of those caloric foods that are higher in carbs and see if they do. If they don't shove your blood sugar out of range, add some fruit, add some quinoa, add some brown rice, some of those things that are going to help you and have more calories to it. But experiment, like go from, you know, what we said the transition is now you just start to systematically, like maybe you start with butternut squash or you start with, you know, I wouldn't go start with bananas because that might be, but start with some of the fruits.
Right? Well, I put some banana in a smoothie and it doesn't seem to make
a problem, right? I would look at more of the really highly colored, pigmented fruits that are so loaded with antioxidants that, you know, the berries, kiwis, mango, whatever, and just see how they affect you.
Yeah.
Come up with that plan because they'll add the extra calories for you.
Well, and I work with a naturopath and he's wanting me to take more oils, and you don't recommend the oils, but boy, if I want to put on calories, except what?
Exception is what we're talking about. My exception is that, yes, a lot of folks who are underweight just have really small stomach capacity, and there's just so much you can eat. Adding some oil to what you're doing, a good, healthy, whole oil is going to give you the extra calories you need. And then when you reach your weight, then you experiment with taking it down. But if I say, take this avocado, it has this many calories, and you're like, I'm stuffed, I can't eat an avocado. But if I just added some avocado oil to what you're eating, you would be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, the oils that are recommended are olive oil, coconut oil, MCT, and flax, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are fine. Yeah.
And I do add flax oil to the smoothie, and I add, well, you know, I do some oils just during the day.
So that's this exception. Like I have an exception to people who are trying to lose weight and they're told to, you know,
right,
on this keto diet, eat 4 tablespoons of oil a day.
It doesn't
usually work really well.
Okay. Well, I'll try and put some of that back and try to do.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could, in terms of feeling hungry, I just so seldom feel hungry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I eat because it's time to eat, 4 hours or whatever.
Interesting. So, it's hard to tell why some people have that appetite. Some people don't, you know. But it sounds like maybe not producing enough ghrelin in your stomach. I don't know how to fix that. I've never heard of anybody not producing enough ghrelin, but I'm thinking.
Well, I don't know how to tell what ghrelin is. I have more like I feel liquids moving, or I feel things moving around, but it's not really ghrelin. I mean,
No, ghrelin is a hormone.
It's a
hormone, and it actually causes the growling. So I don't know if that was right, but ghrelin is a hormone that's produced by the stomach when you're hungry and triggers that stimulus to the brain that says, "Oh, I'm hungry. It's time to eat." Now, I'm ignoring it. It's saying, "You're hungry. You're hungry," and I'm ignoring it. And I take, you know, kind of pleasure in the fact that, well, ghrelin is there, it's stimulating growth hormone. So my growth hormone is going and trying to find some fat to burn, you know, and building on muscle. So it's a good thing, but it's not when you're underweight.
Yeah.
If I was underweight, I would.
Well, in terms of exercise, what I would like to do is exercise to, not to build muscle, but I like the eccentrics approach, which is
everything
in your body. And I feel like I would like to do that more because I think if I can put on a little muscle, I can have a little more
weight. Exactly, a little muscle. And you don't have to lift weights to do muscle.
No.
There's a lot of body weight exercise that you can do.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Do the chronometer and on another call, bring it
I'm going to work on that. I just need to, I've got that down, but I haven't learned to use it well yet.
It's a good tool so that, you know, we've had people who were well underweight because of some metabolic disorders and actually worked with them on a 300 to 400 calorie a day increase. Where can I put these extra calories so that I'm not going to, you know, thwart my appetite so that I can't eat my next meal? So we can help you with that.
Okay.
Okay, great. So we'll go on to the questions that were input in advance. And then I want to ask a couple of things. I want to tell you a couple of things. Next week is going to be our guest expert call. And I'll be on the call with her, and she's going to talk about parasympathetic, sympathetic balance, because it's such an important piece of this. Jody, I know Marcia knows Jody. She's mentioned her. Jody Cohen is going to be our guest next week, and she's going to talk about how do you get that parasympathetic balance going. And then the week after that is the one after that is Annette. So Annette will be leading the call the week after that. So I'll be here with Jody next week, and then Annette's going to be leading it. Those of you who have met Annette through other channels, some of you are over the weekend. She's just amazing. She has so much experience in this whole area because of personal family stuff, you know, in a situation with her daughter, and her daughter is type 1 diabetic, and she's one of our certified practitioners. So she'll be leading the call the week after that. Okay. All right. So questions.
Ready for Facebook questions?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And that call that you just mentioned, that's Monday's call?
Yes, Monday, same. We're trying to get them all at the same time. Now, I'm still working with the other guest experts, one for July, one for August. It depends on their schedule, right? If they can fit into our time slot, it'll be great. If not, we'll just announce when it's going to be. And that's always be in the same time slot, same Zoom meeting.
Perfect. Okay. So this question is from Violetta. Do I break a fast if I drink warm water with lemon? We did talk about this a little bit, but she said her first solid meal is 1 or 2 p.m. And she feels good, but she does have Hashimoto's, and her antibodies are a little elevated, thyroid antibodies. And she says she has high adrenal fatigue.
Okay. So what's wondering. Question about that. I mean, if the question is about breaking, so here it's grasping at straws, right? We have to find what works for us. You can read a book that says, oh, if you do anything but black tea or black coffee or water, you're breaking your fast. Personally, I don't think you should be drinking caffeinated beverages for breaking your fast, because I disagree that that's a good thing to be doing if you're not eating, and then you're going to get the heart palpitations perhaps and all that other stuff. But that's another thing. And plus, the drinking caffeine will stimulate adrenals and go, you know, so I don't agree with that. So as far as the lemon, I think you try it. If you really are really feeling good having that lemon juice in your water in the morning, and don't worry about whether it's officially breaking your fast. If you're getting results, if you're feeling good and it helps you to be able to maintain, to delay your meal, go for it, right? Try it. It's all a matter of experimentation and trying.
Great. Okay. Where's that sheet? There it is. Okay. From Betty. I do intermittent fasting, but I've heard that's not a good idea when your adrenals are tired. What are your thoughts? I won't be able to.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I've done it when I've had people do it, and it depends. And it's, again, you try it. So what is intermittent fasting? Look at the sheet. Go, okay, I'm doing 12 hours. Great. Okay. Now I want to get to 16 hours or 14 hours, right? Okay. So I'm going to go to 13 and see how I feel. If you find yourself feeling more fatigued when you do it, if you find yourself being more hyperstimulated when you do it, if you find yourself not feeling as good, you go back to what feels good.
Mm-hmm. Great. Another from Betty. I'm so thankful for being in this program and all I'm learning. Thanks, Dr. Rita Marie. The second question is about protein in the urine. I have around 1 milligram of protein due to IgA nephropathy. Does this diet help reduce the protein ratio in my urine, improve function of my kidneys?
Well, overall, I think that getting in an optimal diet, I don't know where you're coming from to this, but getting on an optimal diet will help with anything that's inflammatory in your body, will help with having the right nutrient balance. You know, a nephropathy, I don't know what the cause of that is. Is it a problem that you were born with? Is there some congenital stuff? Did you have cancer and it was removed? You know, there's a lot of the why you have that. But overall, we're working at restoring balance to the body in a way that give it the right nutrients, take away the obstacles to healing, and then fine tune it to us. So it's possible. I can't say yes or no on that particular condition.
Great. From Martha, I want to know another question about the gut rejuvenator.
Okay, so we've hit that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number two question. I want clarification on using journaling page for intermittent fasting. I'm not testing ketones. I'm using the break your fast menus.
Okay. So read that one again.
I want clarification. Martha, you can explain this. You want a clarification on the journaling page for intermittent fasting?
Yeah, that was a guideline, right? That's just like, you. This is a guide. However you want to journal it is fine with me. But the goal is, if you're trying to keep track of things, don't try to keep track of it in your head. No matter how smart you are, you're not going to remember what you did 2 days ago or how you felt 2 days ago. So you track it, right? And you go, look, I did this. My fasting was this. My glucose was this. My energy was this. And then you keep tracking. You go, huh, it seems like ever since I started X, I either got better or worse. Great. You know, it gives you feedback. So that's basically what the journaling is, because I don't care. I can't remember what I ate 2 days ago and what my blood sugar was and how I felt. Right? I can't. I'm pretty smart. I don't remember that stuff. So we write it down. Is that answer your question, Martha? Right. Doesn't look like she's active right now.
She's muted. Martha, you're muted.
Oh, can you unmute yourself? We should be able to.
I'm not a host. So okay.
There I am.
Can
you oh.
I unmuted.
Okay, so I'm not a host either. Why am I not letting me? Host me, but why is it not Angelica Moore make co-host?
Well, I am muted myself.
Oh, there you are, Martha. You should be able to unmute yourself on these calls. Over the weekend, we had it so that you couldn't unmute yourself because we didn't want 250 people.
I think I'm unmuted.
Yeah, you're unmuted. I hear you now, Martha.
Yes, you do hear me. It's basically, you know, I was wondering how much detail in terms, because I track everything else in my notebook. Sometimes I do these things, but I was looking, okay, notes on your fasted days.
Yeah, so keep it, if whatever you have working for you right now, in terms of fasting, in terms of journaling, the thing you want to make sure of is you're tracking your length of your fast and what the hours were that you did it, like when you did it, so that you can look back and you're not going to see it in the moment. You can look back and go, huh, when I switched my fasting window from early to late, I started getting weight loss. Whoa, that might be coincidental. Probably not. It looks like it. Great. My weight dropped. So whatever you're doing right now in terms of your tracking, just add whatever columns are missing from the sheet that I gave you.
Okay. I kind of like the paper, but I'm just doing, okay, it's 14 hours since dinner this is my glucose. I'm not doing ketones. I don't have a meter.
That's fine. Then whatever you are tracking, because the more information you track, the more information you have to make better decisions.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Martha.
Next we have a question from Pam Masters. Often in the mornings upon waking at 6 a.m., I finish my last meal at 6 p.m. I get mentally fatigued within an hour and I'm not hungry. I drink water. By 10 or 11, I feel spacey, but I'm still not hungry. I'll have a light meal. Afterwards, I feel really hungry. I crave salad or nuts or tahini. Why could I be hungry after I eat? How should I balance my mornings better? If I wait until I'm hungry, then I eat too heavily and knock out my energy.
Okay, so this is again where experimentation can come in. It's a great question. So if you are finding that you're hungry after you eat, it's generally that your body says, oh, yay, I don't have to burn fat anymore. We're giving me food, but then you don't give enough food, right? You don't give enough, and then your body's like, oh, come on. That happens to me, and I sometimes will delay my meal till evening when I'm finished all my calls, because sometimes, I have this little window here, and I'm going to eat, and then I start eating, and there's just so much I can eat in that short window, and I'm like, oh, now I'm aware of the hunger. Right now I'm aware that I'm hungry and I want to eat more. So go with it. Make sure you're sitting down and having a full meal. And because calorically, if it's low or it's low in fat, your body's going, okay, more. For me, sometimes it's like, I didn't have enough fat at that meal. I just, you know, drank a smoothie and it wasn't enough fat. And if I add a couple of tablespoons of almond butter, well, not tablespoons, but teaspoons of almond butter, because that's the quickest thing I could eat in going on to it. Then he goes, oh, that's what I needed. I needed fat, right? So experiment with it and see like how much you can eat at those meals and what kind of proportions of carbohydrate, fat, and protein.
So questions from Arlene Margie. Forgive me if this is a repeat, but I've had IBSD for 36 years and the craving pressure supplements really exacerbated it.
I answered her on Facebook. I answered her on Facebook to that.
It was you did. Okay. So
Don't take them. If you add some supplements that are recommended in the program and it gets a flare up of IBS or diarrhea, then you don't take it. get rid of them until you settle down. And then you can try individual ones, because she didn't say which one. So you take one and you start with the minimum dose, tiny, tiny dose, and see if it affects you. And maybe just one of those that she's just adding full dose all at once and it's aggravating her. The other option, if you do have IBS kind of history, is that the capsules may be what's aggravating. The fillers in there may be what's aggravating. So that's why I love liquids, because I can do one drop, then I can do two drops, then I can do three drops, and I can figure out where that's coming from. Yeah.
Thank you. Martha had a couple more questions. Martha, did you still want to ask about your chromium? And you asked us about berberine and lipoic acid. And you said you're having some energy challenges in the evening. Did you want to come up, on again?
I went looking on the supplement site, and I was just overwhelmed by looking at how many different kinds of berberine or supplements and the alpha lipoic acid. And I have several different supplement questions. One is, how much how much chromium is safe to take?
I wouldn't go above 1200 a day. If you're a severely diabetic, you've had long-standing weight issues, long-standing blood sugar issues, you make it up to 1200. The 800 I used was really based on lots of studies that's where they found the most. Some people only need 400, some people only need 200, right? So I wouldn't, at this point, if you've lost some weight, your blood sugars are more steady, then you can start backing off what you're taking and see how you do. But here's what happens. If, like, say you're taking 800, because that's what we recommended, and you're doing well, you're everything, and all of a sudden you go down to 600 and you start noticing, I'm getting my pouch back again. Oh, my blood sugar is going off again. Oh, right. Then you go, well, okay, that wasn't good. Let's just go right back up to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you need it that way, because some people just end the program and they just stop everything, and then everything gets worse again.
Well, I can't get my blood sugar below 90 most of the time.
Okay, in the morning. Okay, so there's something going on there, right? And that's why you're
eating things, cooked vegetables, and all kinds of things will spike it up to like 138.
You likely have, like me, a lot of the genetics that predispose you. You have to be super careful. So what I would do is I wouldn't change your level of chromium, because you're still not in the ideal range yet. Okay, right. So I stick with that. I would look at adding some of the other things, right? So berberine, you asked about. Thorne has a really good product line. If you did we offered an extra little booklet that I put together that was the keto whatever challenge, whatever it is. I don't know if you have it or not, but if you don't, just get it. It's like $20. And I spent a lot of time, Angelica and I both, we spent a lot of time like taking all the things and what are those, the recommended brands. And we have links in there and everything, and links to the Dr. Supplement store or to WellEvate or wherever we can find them. And that would help, to be able to go through that. Mm-hmm. And then see, but I in general, I like pure brands that don't add a lot of excipients to their stuff.
Right.
So my top brands, if you can find your supplement in these brands, great. Sometimes where you are, you might not be able to. Premier Research Labs, Thorne, Seeking Health, Pure Encapsulations. There's probably a couple of others, but those are the main ones that you can get almost everything that you want from them.
Seeking Health and Pure Encapsulations. Yeah.
And all of those are available on either the Dr. Supplement store or the WellEvate store. There's a few that we list in that book that's, we have very specific considerations. Why would you need this? When would you need this? And if some of them, there were some, unusual brands that weren't there, that we just put the links directly to those people's sites. Okay.
That's helpful. I had a very strange event happened in the middle of the night last night. And, I woke up with my heart just racing and pounding. And that never happened to me.
That's not happened before.
I can't remember. And so I just, I lay there and I did heart math breathing. right. to calm down.
Aggravated you. It could have been any, it could have been a physiologic thing. It could have been a dream that you woke up, you had a disturbing dream. It caused your heart to race. You may not remember it, the dream, but it could have caused that. It could be something that you ate at dinner the night before that aggravated you and your stomach was flaring. But it could also be, anybody wakes up or experiencing any kind of heart palpitations or whatnot, test your blood sugar, see where it's at. Because when you test your blood sugar, you'll know if it's super high or super low, right? It may be super high because it went super low and cortisol got released and raised the sugar. Yeah. So let's look at that. I mean, people with thyroid issues, hyperthyroid issues, if you're hypothyroid and you're taking supplementation, like a thyroid med or supplementation, that could cause you to go over the top and you really should get checked with the doctor who prescribed to see if you need to lower that medication. Mm-hmm. Right? Anybody that starts to get some of those palpitations, but sometimes it's going too long without eating. The body goes, whoops, we don't know how to do ketones yet. And let's raise some of the adrenaline to get that going. Thank you.
I'm wondering because I was finally able to have dinner over with by 6:30 last night.
And it's possible that your blood sugar dropped too low. Did you take chromium at night?
Let's see, how much chromium? I think I just took the 200 at night.
Okay. I would say move that to before and see if that happens again. If this was just a freak thing, then no big deal. But if it continues to happen, I would either eliminate that chromium or move it, that dose, to double up at dinner or earlier in the day.
Right.
It might have been you ate real early, your blood sugar went down, your mechanisms are not quite there for keeping it stable. It caused the cortisol to be released to raise it, and that's what caused the fluctuation. Okay. Yeah. Angelica, I wish there was just like one. I wish there was a one size fits all. I wish I could just say, this is how it works for everybody and let's just do it. But that's not how the body works. So.
Well, I'm glad you know that. It's not one size fits all because I'm not one of those that fits in.
No, I don't fit into a size. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you.
Angelica, go ahead.
Okay, this is from Ahlam. She says she lost some extra weight, 6 kilos in total. Her skin looks less dry and she's glowy and she's a little more muscle tone. And she really enjoys this new information she's getting. It's helping her understand better and it motivates her.
Wonderful.
So that's cool.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And she has a question. So it says, she said, unfortunately, her blood sugar is never getting below 5.4 and goes higher than that after a meal to 6 to 7 millimoles per liter. She says she's only eating low carb greens, nuts, seeds, and a little animal protein. So she's saying like basically she eats anything other than greens, like those foods I named, her blood sugar will go higher.
Okay. So my question would be, have you done it for 30 days straight where you didn't eat any of those foods to cause it to go higher? The other questions are you taking the supplements? And maybe we need to add some extras if that's not doing it. My third question would be, what kind of animal protein are you eating and how much? Because too much protein can convert into sugar. So sometimes people eat too much protein and they think I'm doing fine. I'm just eating vegetables and protein, but they're eating big amounts of protein and, you know, reasonable amount of vegetable at each meal and it's too much protein. So I would go through a chronometer or something like that to determine how much you're taking of all that stuff. And then I would, if you haven't already done all of the other pieces, and that's why we're here, like this week is working on the fasting window. So work on your fasting window, and then we'll look at each of the other pieces. It may be a parasympathetic dominance kind of thing. And there's a number of reasons it might be. And that's why you're here for 12 weeks. Awesome.
Great. From Brenda, questions about A1C. Can I get a good A1C reading and still be having high peaks after meals? If I get a low A1C, like 5 or below, doesn't mean I'm not having peaks that are too high.
Yeah, so here's the deal. So A1C is just a general kind of thing. It's average, right? So you can have a high A1C, but not having high peaks, but having generally high levels. With the low A1C, I always ask people to still see what their peaks are, because sometimes what people have is they have a peak and then they have too much insulin gets secreted and they have a valley, a really low one. And some people aren't actually carrying it out the long enough period of time to see if you have a valley. But I've seen people who have, you know, 5.0 and it's like, that's perfect, but they're still having high peaks and they're not catching the valleys. And it's averaging. And A1C is not as, I mean, it's not a 100%, right? If you're very athletic, your blood cells are going to last longer. And so it's not as good a determination. So you may have a higher A1C than you you think.
Thank you. I didn't know that part. That was new. Okay. So Lisa Morales, I have a question on calorie numbers that are good for non-fasting days. I've been eating 2 meals a day and I'm losing 2 pounds a week. Started using chronometer and I learned I'm getting most of my macronutrient targets, but only eating 900 to 1,000 calories a day. Is that okay for non-fasting or do I need more? I still have 45 pounds to lose.
So you are doing fasting days and not. So here's the thing. You can actually thwart your weight loss by eating too low. So I would add one, quote unquote, I'm going to say this gently, feast day a week. Doesn't mean you go out and eat pizza and beer and M&Ms. What it means is that you up the calories in terms of good, wholesome foods on that one day a week. And then the body doesn't get into this mode of starvation. I'm in starvation. Slow down the metabolism. Slow down the metabolism, right? So that's what I would look at.
From Elizabeth Gwynn, I have some concerns about muscle loss with extended fasts. At 69, I need to keep all the muscles I have.
Yeah, extended fasting can cause muscle loss. And so it's not necessarily recommended for everybody to do an extended fast. Mm-hmm. Right? You just have to see if you notice that you try to do a 2-day fast and, you know, and you just start to do those regularly and you start to get flabby and stuff. No, I would, it's not for everybody.
Okay. From Aurelie, I was trying to do all plant-based last weekend. And I'm doing my third 3-day fast. Last week, I lost 5 pounds, gained it all back. I wasn't sure what I should have done for protein because she said she was eating nuts over the weekend because she was going plant-based. Can't do protein powders. I think I need meat or fish.
Yeah, so no, plant-based isn't for everybody, right? So it's a matter of finding the right balance for us, right, for each person. So the tendency, so if you gain the weight back, you can't retrospectively go back, but nuts are calorically dense and you may be getting a lot more calories than you think. And I find that myself, if I do a fast and then I don't really pay attention and I just allow myself to go to the nut jar and eat whenever I want, you know, even if it's at a meal, but I can eat as much as I want. I realized how big that, how much of a caloric intake that is. So, you know, if plant-based doesn't work, then keep to some fish. But the tendency people have is that they just overdo nuts when they try to go plant-based. So it's finding the right balance, do the chronometer to figure it out. Next week on Friday, I'll be giving you the information for that. We're going to be doing, hopefully everybody decides to do it together. Maybe not Jean or anybody that really doesn't want to lose weight. But it's fasting while feasting. And it's basically the ability to do this particular set of ratios that have been known to maintain only for 5 days. And for those of you who are still have more weight to lose, doing that plan 5 days a month, people were not hungry. They were eating these delicious meals. Their their glucose levels and their went down and their ketones went up. And some folks by the end of that 5 days, they were feeling full. They were feeling full in energy. And on the fifth day, their ketones were up to like 4.5 or 5 and their glucose had dropped. So it's a way to like trick your body. Hey, do this 5 days a week, do this 5 days a month. And then you go back to what works for you. There's also the issue with this fasting feasting thing is what works best for you in terms of numbers of days of feasting. So I mentioned that to someone earlier about having a feasting day, right? Some people it's like having a 5-2 feasting thing. So 2 days a week spread out, they're having a feasting day and the other days they're doing ketosis, you know, ketogenic and intermittent fasting. It's all a matter of finding what works best for you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Talia Segal, what is the, Talia, I answered Maria's website. I left it in the chat. You can find out more information about Maria, who's Dr. Reader's personal trainer, and she does group fitness. So I'll take that away.
I'm sorry.
Aurelie. Oh,
Sorry, Talia, what'd you say?
Where to find it?
I didn't know. Oh, I posted in the chat. I'll do it again, though. I'll post your website.
Chat? This chat for this call?
I don't see it. Yes, this chat.
Okay. Okay. And yeah. Lynn, Angelica also put in the link to the rehydration drops, too.
Yes, it did. Okay. Next question is from Aurelie again. I have constriction in my calves. On one of them, there's a sore spot that's worrying me. It's swollen around what feels like a tourniquet. I'm taking natto, neprinol, and vitamin C in vain sense. Should I take them during a fast, or will that throw me off?
Oh, if you're taking stuff for that, take them during a fast. Any, here's the thing. If you're doing fasting and you're taking supplements that are geared towards solving a particular health issue and they've been prescribed by a doctor or naturopath or whoever, then you continue to take them. It's the, you know, the just the extras, right? And I make the decision based on each individual person. So when in doubt, you continue to take your supplements.
Where's my top? There it is. One more from Arlie. Can I put peppermint oil or another oil in water during a fast without breaking my fast? Also wondering if essential oils can help eradicate SIBO.
I mean, SIBO is a complicated thing. I mean, certain essential oils, if it was as simple as, yeah, take this essential oil mix for SIBO and it's gone, it would be an easy problem, but it's not, right? So they can be part of a regime for SIBO. The parasympathetic is a huge piece in terms of SIBO, and we're going to learn about that more next week. But in terms of, I forget what the beginning of that question was because I got so caught with the SIBO.
She was wondering if the essential oil in the water breaks the fast.
It depends on who you read, right? Technically, it does because it has some calorie to it. If it's a sweet tasting one and it can stimulate your insulin receptors, then don't do it. But personally, I find that it works for what we're doing. If somebody's doing a long-term 28-day fast for a particular issue, then it's got to be supervised and a decision made on that each time. And I personally did just straight water for 28 days.
Okay, from Rose, I don't have access to eating for bone health either. And I am 0.2 from osteoporosis in my bone scan.
Where did I put it? I put it on. Let me go back to the overview page. I think it's, I'm looking right now. I know I put it there. Where did it? It's under the bonuses. If you go to the main page for Stay in Your Sweet Spot and you scroll down to where it says bonuses, it's this third one there. I'll show you the picture.
Okay.
So it's there. And it's not, it doesn't have any like tags or as long as you're in, stay in the sweet spot, you should be able to see it. But I'll show you.
Yeah, I see it on mine. So if anyone is having issues, write to help desk, they can fix site stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if they're having issues, re-log out and log back in again because it's there. And if you're seeing this page, it's there. It's like, it's not like it's tagged to certain people like some of the other bonuses were like if you signed up by this point or that point, but it's right there, eating for bone health. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to, and I don't know if she means that when she clicks it, she doesn't get access, but you should, because I set up the eating for bone health that anybody that was in stay in the sweet spot has access to it. So mm-hmm. That's what it is. So I'll just, it'll be in the video. So if she has any more questions, she can write to help desk.
Cool. Okay. From Kate Thomas, I've tried the tactic of drinking warm water with a bit of pink salt while fasting. I felt great and could fast longer, but had immense cramping at night. Can you speak about the salt water idea?
Yeah, so it might be throwing off the electrolyte balance. So add some potassium and magnesium and maybe put that in your water as well. Yeah, a little bit of, you're welcome.
Okay, Wheaton asked, how do you know if your cells aren't absorbing water?
Yeah, it's when you're like, you're drinking a lot and you're just keep being thirsty and you're thirsty and it seems like you're peeing more than you're drinking. Means the water's not being held. And that's where, you know, that's the extreme end of it. But collecting 24 hours of urine and just seeing how much it is can be, if it overflows the bottle and you know, something's wrong here, right? And if you're like drinking like crazy and you're not, it's usually that your cells aren't absorbing it. So yeah, thank you.
From Aurelie, if I fast 72 hours, would it make sense to do the Wally Fung type of diet for the other 4 days? Or is that too little of food?
Wally Fung. Jason Fong?
Maybe that's what she, maybe that was like a typo or something. Jason, yeah.
His diet is extremely high in animal products and protein, so I'm not really a big fan of it. But what I would recommend if you are going to fast for 72 hours, that you eat in more of a ketogenic, plant-based ketogenic way, you know, a healthy ketogenic way with lots of veggies. Doesn't mean it has to be 100% plant-based, but on those other days. Because if you get into doing the typical keto with butter and lots of protein, I don't think it's a good idea either.
Okay. I think that was all. Let me just catch up back to the top here. Okay. Talia, how much magnesium is safe to take in a day?
So you're going to get, when we get to our nutrient balance module in this, all like papers and stuff on how to do a magnesium load. And it all depends on the person. So I'll give you a quick summary of what that is. And it's basically, you start with a level of magnesium and then you increase it a little bit more and you increase it a little bit more and you keep increasing it until you get to the point where my bowels are, you know, moving too much. Then you back it off to what you did the day before. That's how it's, so it's going to be individual. If somebody has a long-standing magnesium deficiency and there's other things that have been in the diet and lifestyle that are interfering with magnesium, or you have a magnesium SNP, those of you who were at the weekend know what I mean by that, a genetic deviation, then you're going to see that you need more than you, the average person. So it's really a matter of qualifying that to individuals. Yeah, and you'll get that. We'll give you a paper on that, but that gives you a synopsis. Okay, yeah, good question. And then Carly had her hand up. Was it Ronnie? Ronnie had her hand up too. So
hi. So if you're doing the intermittent fasting, does the time of day that you do it have to be consistent? I'm not talking about the amount of hours you're fasting, but the time of day. Like, can you switch it up?
You can switch it up. And okay. If you find one window that works the best for you, obviously you're going to try that, but life gets in the way.
Exactly. And
life gets in the way. So we can't always keep it up.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Angelica. Do we have any?
Are we done? Yeah, we have a few more. I know we just have like 5 more minutes, so we'll just take a couple more and then we can use address later questions, leftover questions on our live later. Is it safe to take potassium orotate? I remember hearing it was a poison. I rarely get enough, according to chronometer.
Orotate?
Yeah, there we go.
I'm trying to think of what the name, I don't have it here, the brand. Best time is to get ionic potassium, any kind of minerals, ionic. And Eidon, E-I-O-D-O-N has them, Good State has them, Trace Minerals Research has them, although I just always have to throw out the caution about their zinc is so potent that some people get nauseous from it. I'm trying to think who else has the liquid ones. Those are the 3 main ones that I know about, that they have the liquid ionic, and then you can just take small amounts with it.
Okay. Aurelie said she got advice from a gene report to avoid fermented foods and doesn't understand why. She doesn't want to give up her fermented foods.
Gene report. What gene report? Is it a report that the people are, somebody's interpreting their genes and giving them a rundown without actually knowing them? So you may have a histamine, you may have a gene that predisposes you to histamine intolerance, in which case it doesn't mean avoid fermented foods. It means go cautious with fermented foods, right? A little bit more, find the fermented foods that don't produce as much of a histamine. If you have a tendency to SIBO, and the SIBO is caused by the lactobacillus, the lactate versions of the lactobacillus, some of them don't produce lactate, you basically, that they're getting stuck in your small intestine instead of making their way to the large intestine, then that's another reason that you be careful. So with anything like that, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Right. What you're getting in those gene reports that where they give you this advice on what you should eat and shouldn't is a computer interpreting your results. And they're not actually looking at you and the whole picture. Right. They're just looking at this particular gene. And that's where I get a little upset about this gene. It means you need to take this supplement. This gene, it means you need to avoid this. It doesn't. Genes are going to be expressed in certain ways. It may mean that your histamine degrading pathways are possibly decreased, right? And so depending on whether it's a homozygous or heterozygous, meaning you have a gene from both parents for it or a gene from one parent from it, is going to determine how much of that. Highly recommend you guys have a free ticket to a thing we're doing at the end of July called Your Genes, Your Diet, and Your Immune System. Come and do that. It's a whole weekend, and you're going to learn a lot about that from how to apply that to you. Okay? Great.
Okay. Stephen, when is the fasting feasting coming? When are we going to do it all together?
Friday you'll get the thing, and then we haven't decided on an exact date to start it together, but my guess is that I like to give you a good, you know, week to prepare. So probably like we did with the metabolic reset, we gave you the information, you have everything you need, and then a week later we'll start it. I like to start programs like that, like on a Friday, because then you have the weekend to really get into it, and then you have, you're already used to it if you're going back to the work on Monday. So probably next Friday, not this Friday coming, but next Friday. So Friday you'll get the information on it, you'll get the booklet on it, I'll create a new video to describe it, and then we can start it together the week, the Friday after that.
All right.
Can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
Is that very quick? And I'm sorry, you went over this. If I had to choose just between 23andMe and Genova, is there any difference really between them? I've reached a
about
plateau.
$3,000.
What?
About $3,000.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so Genova, at least the way they used to it, Genova, you had to order the individual categories. And when you added it up, it came out to be about $3,000. 23andMe does all of it. And it's like $200. So
okay, that's it. You've answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, maybe one more. Talio, where is the blood test recommendations? I can't see it.
Where's the blood test recommendations? What does that mean?
Talio, which blood tests are you referring to?
Earlier, I'm just going next week to do a blood test with my, it's my yearly checkup. So since I took the program, I'm curious to see if my levels have changed. And my regular physician, you know, they don't do them all. Yeah.
Let me grab it. I'll give you a link to a PDF we have that has, it's a really detailed PDF, but you know, it doesn't mean you need all of them, but it does describe, you know, which ones you might need and how to know if you need them. So let me find that.
For them. I will ask for them and hopefully they will.
They won't. Sorry.
I wish they would. Oh,
so if I go to, I think it's in Body Balance. I'm trying to figure, I thought I had put it together for this program, but I think it may be later. Let me see. So Body Balance. Oh, it's not going there. Okay. Let me go. Body Balance. Body Balance. Okay. I'm pretty sure I have it in here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's just a PDF and it's very comprehensive. So it doesn't mean you have to have everything, but I do have good descriptions in there of what. Okay, so Body Balance, get started. Maybe it's on their bonuses, extras, bonus, blood sugar. Oh, it might be on the private coaching page. Let's see. I just was working on this last week for somebody I'm working with one-on-one, and I had it out. Register for a private consultation. Here, this lab testing. Let me get this and give you the link. I think I might have done an updated version of this, but I didn't change the content. I just changed the formatting. So let me put it in the chat here. Try that.
Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome.
Great.
Angelica.
All right.
Anything else?
I think, that about wraps it up. One more is Rose. What combination of mushroom powder did you use in your kitchen yesterday during Shine
Oh,
Online?
Oh, yeah. So that was a combination from Z Natural Foods, and it has seven different mushrooms in it. And so I bought it because they just came out with it. I'm like, oh, that would be great for me for traveling. And I find that it's very convenient for me not to open up my separate bottles for the others. It is a little... I think it's probably, well, maybe not. It's probably cheaper to just get it all in one like that. But you may not need all of them, and you may not get as much of the ones that you need. I like cordyceps, so I'll usually use that. And then I add some extra cordyceps, which is what I did yesterday in the kitchen.
Okay. Great. So I'm looking at Z Natural Foods. Looks like they have a lot of like individual mushroom powders, but maybe there's a...
called Seven Mushroom Blend or something like
seven
that.
Seven Mushroom Blend. Okay, I'm going to try to find the product link for everybody. That's all the questions I got, unless I missed anything, but we're just out of time, so...
Okay. So if you have any other questions, Angelica's doing hers on... Somebody asked about that Thursday, right? Thursday...
Thursday, yeah, at 4 Eastern, and I messed up last week because I was thinking in Pacific time, so I showed up at 3 Eastern because I'm in Mountain Time now, so I, like, showed up an hour early, and I apologize, but this week, from now on, I'll show up at 4 Eastern.
Yeah, not early. It'll be on the page, it'll be on the recordings page once you finish.
Yes, we will post the recordings.
If you have questions, Marcia, can we do I know I can do it on a page, but not, I don't know if you can do it in a group where you pre-schedule a live and then they can get reminders. Can we do that? I don't know if you, I don't remember seeing whether you could do that in a group because I've done it on the page.
Yeah, I do think so.
Why don't we do that and just pre-schedule it? And that way we have right there, if people have any questions, they can post them right there in advance for Angelica.
I think she has to do it directly. I can't do it for her.
She has to up the live because she's going to go live. Oh, I see. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I wasn't able to do it for you. I could only do it for myself.
Okay. Is it because she's an admin on that. You're an admin on that. So I don't know. Maybe it's the owner. Maybe I have to do it.
No, it's the person who's going to actually be doing the live.
Oh, going to be doing the live.
It's connected to their account.
To their account. I see. Okay. Maybe you can pass the information you did for me to her.
Yeah, I think I did, but I'll pass it again if you need it, Angelica.
And somebody just had their hand up a second ago, but I don't know. Janet, did you have something or are you just waving goodbye?
When you were talking about Thursday's call, is that this Thursday, the 18th of June?
Every Thursday she's going live on Facebook at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Angelica.
Angelica is, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. All right, guys. So wonderful to be together. I like having the smaller group format because I can really, you know, dig in with each of you. So keep your questions coming, post them. And, you know, next Monday, I'll be here with Jody to introduce her and she's going to do a presentation on parasympathetic. And we may have, you know, we'll have some time for question and answer at the end. So put it on your calendar and just mark your calendar for this time every Monday. There's a couple of them that we may not have one, but it's either going to be me or Annette or a guest. And on the ones that we don't, we'll let you know in advance that, oh yeah, just use this to study your materials or something. But if you mark it out, then when I do get the guests scheduled, hopefully I can get them on a Monday at this time. Okay? Great. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Next time.
Bye.
Thank you. I like it when everybody comes on at the end, so I stay to wave. Bye.
Bye.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Okay.
What's the name?
Bye-bye.
Bye.